This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Inflation is the macroeconomic indicator of the day. Vibespansion is the underlying context, both of which and some other stuff we shall talk about by way of reviewing the past 5 days in this economy. Sudhi Brady is at Politico. Anna Swanson is at the New York Times. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Anna, let me start with you. Inflation, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, the Fed's favorite measure, comes in this morning at 2.6% year on year. You saw it and you said what?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly what we want to see. I mean, it was a really remarkable week of economic data. Inflation is now receding, and yet we still have these very strong economic growth numbers. Mm-hmm. Most people had predicted a recession for 2023, and so much so that a lot of Americans ended up wrongly assuming that a recession was actually occurring, but that never happened. And now, we have the two before the inflation number as well. I think, it's all kind of a reminder that this economic period that we have gone through was pretty unusual from mm-hmm. a historical perspective. The recession was unusual, and this recovery is kind of unusual too. And it's just really, confounding people's expectations of what might have occurred.
Sudeep, do you expect that it's possible that we could have, as has been bandied about the last, 36 hours, and as I talked about with Wendy Edelberg yesterday, forget the soft landing, man. We could just have a zero landing. No landing at all. We're just going to keep going up.
The no landing, the continue steady right. as she goes. Right. It's certainly possible. We've gone through probably a year ago, economists were calling it the rolling recession. We mm-hmm. went from a lot of damage 2 years ago in the tech sector to the housing sector, manufacturing actually in a recession, contracting for a while. But the top line stuff has not been hit. The job growth has been sturdy. The unemployment rate is low. GDP growth, as you just mentioned. And we've seen on inflation, the parabola affected, right? It went all the way up and it's come right back down. It hasn't come all the way down. And so that's the risk we've seen before. Early victories in the 1970s. You don't want to declare victory too early because then it goes right back up afterwards. So that's the thing that's on the minds of Jay Powell and everyone else right now, is how do you make sure you continue that downward slope and keep it going down and not run into the same problem that their predecessors faced.
Yeah, but look, Anna, I mean, stipulating that the Federal Reserve is traumatized by the 1970s and early 1980s, which, they freely admit when you ask them about it, there are zero signs the consumer in this economy has given up. In fact, sentiment is improving almost monthly. GDP growth, as you pointed out, 3.1% last year when everybody was like, oh, no, forget it. What will it take for the Federal Reserve to not take counsel of its fears?
Well, I think that they are definitely going to be, cautious. This stronger growth this week is mm-hmm. going to make them a little more cautious about shifting mm. toward rate cuts. They're going to be, very careful in making that assessment of when they've done enough and they can ease up. But I think that tipping point is clearly approaching, where they need to, to shift, and they're weighing, the balance between the risk of overdoing it and the risk of underdoing it. But it seems like we're kind of gradually shifting to an environment where those rate cuts are more likely than rate hikes. It's just a question of when, mm-hmm. and I think we'll figure out that more as we get toward the middle of this year, probably.
Sudhip, this is going to get a little bit weedy, but roll with me here, right? One of the things that some members of the Federal Reserve have said, regional presidents and or members of the Board of Governors, is the worst thing we could do is cut rates and then have to raise rates again. And I guess my question is, why would that be so bad? If things are going well, you cut rates, and when they start not going well, you raise rates.
It all depends on the circumstances. You don't want to get into a situation where you lose credibility as a central bank, that they realize their mandate tilts toward fixing the inflation problem right now. You don't want to, because again, of the experience of the 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. you don't want to relive that. People will usually excuse policymakers for making a new mistake. They won't excuse them for making the old mistake again. And that's the mm-hmm. thing that they want to be careful about in facing all of this. And they also recognize, though, that there is, as we've discussed many times on the show, long and variable lags to monetary policy. We don't know how long they are, but you don't need to wait until the recession to start lowering interest rates. You don't need to even expect that there's going to be a recession. There is a natural rate that you can bring it down to. It doesn't need to be the sky high rates we've been suffering through for the last year, year and a half.
Anna, as you look not just at the American economy, but the global economy, what are the signs? What's in your tickler file of things to keep an eye out for possible bad news?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's certainly plenty of bad news if you look around the world. I mean, compared to the U.S. is really in a bright spot comparatively. It's much stronger than other developed economies now. Looking around the world, earlier this month, the World Bank was warning of the weakest half decade of growth in 30 years. You have two wars, of course, going on, and conflicts in the Middle East, especially, could lead to more economic disruption, potentially for fuel markets. You have, of course, the attacks on ships in the Red Sea that are affecting global shipping and auto producers. A decision this week about liquefied natural gas exports. Yep. I could go on and on. Chinese economy is kind of sluggish. So, you know, I think we should be really thankful to be where we are. You know, the rest of the world is struggling with the same issues with inflation without, you know, the same issue of such strong growth.
That is a reporter who knows her beat, ladies and gentlemen. Sudeep, one last question to you. Janet Yellen gave a speech yesterday at the Economic Club of Chicago in which she, on behalf of the president, took credit for the good news in this economy. The president himself took credit on behalf of himself for the good news in this economy yesterday afternoon. My question is, how much credit does the White House actually deserve?
Victory laps everywhere.
Yeah, right.
It's an election year. You'd be foolish not to take credit for holding up when just about every forecaster was wrong here. And usually economists are not as bearish as they were a year ago, and they were wrong across the board, so many of them. And so Biden has an opportunity here to say, everyone has been doubting me, and here we are. And that's a message that can sell over the course of the year if things hold where they are. If the election were held today, he'd be in a good place, but he's got to hold this for 9 months, and that's really the test for 2024.
9 months and change till election day. Sudeep Reddy at Politico, Anna Swanson at the New York Times on a Friday afternoon. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.